I ask that you prepare the people's hearts to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church, and give them understanding to the things that, if I'm not clear, give them the understanding that they need, especially in these days. I ask that you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been talking about the kingdom. We have been talking about who we are, what our job is. I gave you a Greek word. Does anybody remember what that Greek word was that describes us? Kuru. Remember? Who can tell me what it means? It means an ambassador. And with that, I elaborated what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. Does not mean to be a pew sitter. We're going to look at that today. But it means that part of our job, since Jesus conquered this world, is to notify the inhabitants, the citizens of this world, that to become a citizen of His kingdom, there are things that we are to share with them. We are also to share with them the truth of what's going to happen to those who do not capitulate, who still want to live in their rebellious state. That's all part of the gospel. And what we're seeing today, we need to tell people more and more. And they will more and more say, "You're nuts. You're crazy." That's okay. It doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change His message. It doesn't change anything, because at the end, He has the final say. Because He's King. He's conqueror. If you would look at Revelation 11. Throw it up here in a second. The key scripture is verse 15. The seventh angel sounded the trumpet, and there was loud voices in heaven, which said, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever." 24 elders who sat on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry with, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within His temple was seen the ark of His covenant. And there came great flashings of lightning, rumblings, pearls of thunder, a great earthquake, and a great hailstorm. This is a description of what it's going to look like at the coronation of Jesus Christ. And if any of us are students of Scripture, and especially Revelation, we understand that there's six trumpets before. And contained within those six trumpets are three woes, of which two are fulfilled and the third one happens. Those woes are designed to get mankind to realize that God is real, God is not playing a game, and that He's in control of time and space and everything else that goes in with it. Simultaneously, as that message goes forth, it's supposed to resound within us the hope of the rewards that he will bequeath upon us for doing our jobs. And it's real important that we remember it's our job to go out, develop relationships, share with people the good news of Jesus Christ, but more importantly, to live what we're sharing. Let's face it, kids understand hypocrisy, and they see it in us. And what the world is real quick to understand is about hypocrisy. We have to live what we believe in order to convey the message of Jesus Christ. And all of us do that, right? All of us have committed to Jesus Christ. But that commitment in what he's doing in us is to be everything to us. These scriptures talk about the end of human history and where Jesus comes to begin his reign. And it's not going to be a reign of, that's okay, everything's going to work out. As I said last week, Jesus is not coming back as the Lamb of God. He's coming back as the King. He has always been the King. And we will understand what that means in its reality. And he understands how polluted we are. Because we live in this world. We were born into this world. We were educated by this world. We were influenced by the world. But when we had an opportunity to receive him as King, there is a re-education program going on, even as we speak today. Revelation is revealing to us not the events, but the coronation of Jesus Christ. That's really what it is. It's revelation of Jesus Christ. Why did all this stuff happen for over 2,000 years? To make us understand that all is not lost. I think today in worship was, you know, even at that point where we become desperate and thinking that all hope is lost is when the Lion of Judah arrives. And that is exactly what is happening here. When the world is totally a mess, and it's getting there. It's getting there. We need to remain confident that our message is but seed to those who have a choice to perish at the end or come into what the Lord says, salvation. He'll save us from the destruction that is coming. At this coronation, John is standing there and he's seeing all these creatures, angels, people. And Jesus arrives and he takes from God the Father a scroll. And some of you may not understand what is going on. So I'm going to give you a quick Bible history. When Adam fell, he was the king of this planet. He had title deed to do anything that he wanted, and it was written in a scroll called a covenant. When Jesus came, because of Adam's failure, Adam had given that title deed to Satan, and we are under Satan's jurisdiction presently. That doesn't mean we capitulate to what the world wants. We're under authority from a different king, which affects every aspect of our lives. And so the re-education is, from heaven's standpoint, we have to learn or unlearn the world and what it has taught us. Jesus takes this scroll, and this scroll is sealed with seven seals. And every time a seal is broken, there's judgment being executed upon the earth. These judgments affect the earth. It also affects the cosmos. And today we have telescopes that are showing us that asteroids are coming closer and closer to the earth, of which, if you read scripture, one impacts us. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you that you're in good hands. The king has promised us that we will not suffer judgment upon this planet. Do you believe it? I do. I want to check out of Hotel 6 as soon as I can, because I don't want to be here when all the real excitement gets started. It's going to be terrifying to mankind. And each time that Jesus opens the scroll, a judgment happens. And a woe is released. And I take this scripture because these events are beginning to start to happen. And they're trying to world leaders and scientists are trying to say it's man's fault. Well, that's the only truth that they have. It's man's fault that things are coming upon the earth. And there's been great discussion about certain things like world population is booming. I think we're at the 8 billion people mark on the planet. Talking about global warming, which I saw the weather report this morning. Out in the West, they are suffering the worst fires. Temperatures in those areas where these fires are raging will be over 100 degrees. And this has been going on. And if you look at the history, each year it's progressively worse. And these are all designed for mankind to repent, to come to his senses that it is only God who is able to correct what man has done. And I am convinced that mankind cannot repair what is on the earth because man has fallen. And with a fallen mindset, we're trying to right something that we've created that only God can fix. And so it would behoove us to come under God's jurisdiction as quickly as possible. And we see all these factions trying to perpetrate in conversation, in action, in deeds, an incorrect way of approaching this problem. Because none of them consider God. There is no turning back. We are at a stage in human history that you are either going to become a kingdom person, a remnant, or you're not. And we see today as much as they want to say we're a Christian nation, we are no longer a Christian nation. There's too many voices speaking in the land, and they're not hearing God. It's about people's rights. Well, we know we have no rights, except what Christ has given us. And we are not to be taken captive by the fallen world system. We are to transform it. And this comes to a place of understanding that we are entering into a period of ultimate punishment, which isn't the end, because at the end we know that God's going to divide us into sheep and in goats. If you're part of the goats, your end is the lake of fire, of which you will spend eternity there. And then when God is done punishing you, he will destroy your soul. You will no longer exist. For us as Christians, our hope is that the job that we do, the job that we are commanded to do, we do it to the best ability to glorify Him and to win souls into the kingdom. And at Streams, we are developing a system in which we can move people from infancy in their Christian walk to actually becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. How many of us would consider ourselves as disciples? Okay. That consideration before God. You've raised your hand before God, not before men. He sees your hand and he sees what's going on in your heart. And you would be sadly remiss, because God is trying to get you to a place that makes you a disciple. Just look at your personal life. Just look at your lifestyle. Just look at how you make decisions. Where is God? And we do a little trickster here. We ask people to list the importance of certain things. And we don't tell you what they are. We just say, listen, in importance, 10 things. And sometimes we find that God's not even listed on these lists. Which tells me that if you're a disciple and you've signed this thing and it's not even on there, I question what kind of disciple you are. And we do things out of ignorance and stuff. We do things that have been taught to us, but here at Streams, because I take ambassadorship real important, I want to be the best I possibly can be to represent Jesus Christ, my King. And so I want his people to be the best also. Is that such a hard thing? We have to understand that part of fulfilling the Great Commission is that even in the midst of all this stuff that is happening and is starting to happen, are we to sit in our pews and wait on God because His sovereignty says that He's going to bring this world under His authority, His kingship? Or is it that we're waiting for some sort of event? Are we waiting to get raptured out of here? Are we waiting for the millennial reign of Christ? Are we waiting for certain situations to happen in our life before we take on the onus that I'm at? I don't care what's going on. It just shows you the depth of how selfish you are. Because we should care about the souls have been enlightened with the truth to understand that this place is not going to be a carnival. It's not a water park. It's not a place where we're to get all the gusto to have all our fun and all. I hate to tell you, the truth is, we're to live like Christ, a living sacrifice for each other and for the world. And of course, you've heard me say this in different sermons. Pastor, you just don't understand my situation. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand this, or you don't understand that. No. You are the one that doesn't understand. The moment you confessed that Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior was the moment you gave Him permission to be conformed into His image. Is that not true? It's true. You didn't understand what that meant. And you're getting a living lesson as the progression of how this happens. I'm not complete. I've been walking with Christ for 34 years. And the more that I walk with Him, the more I see the garbage that is in my life. He's kind of like taking the blinders off. He tends to make me understand His great love for me. And how much more I want to represent Him. But I have to surrender more and more. James 4:7 says, submit to God. Resist the devil. But a lot of times we, because God is not even in our mind, we think we're the ones that have to resist the devil. We think we're the ones that have to have. I had a discussion with a person last week. And this person was telling me, man, you just don't understand, Pastor. The devil is really knocking the socks off of me. And he's really doing this. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like listening and drinking my glass of water. Okay, you can believe that. But the fact of the matter is he's not your father any longer. So he's not the one that's doing things in your life because you're looking at it from your perspective. You're not looking at it from the reality that God has now become your father. He has adopted you. And I said this to this person. I said, you know, we're giving credence to Satan who doesn't deserve even a thought of our time. It is God who is doing things in our lives to get us to a place to ultimately be used for His glorification. It's God. We're His kid. My Bible tells me if I'm His kid, He will discipline me. Really? So these things happen because He's disciplining me. I'm not where I need to be. And neither are you. We're in this boat together. We should understand this world is spinning out of control. And we should not be lulled into this thing because we have an individual in the government who is trying to solve problems. And he tells us all the time that this was left to him and he's trying to fix everything. But the truth of the matter is this. He's fallen just like the rest of us. Epitomizing the what a believer should look like. He's trying to solve problems. He's trying to do things in a way that will right the wrongs, but never once is he giving glory to God. And that should be the first inclination. Let me share some things that's wrong with this nation. We are 21 trillion with a T in debt. We approve same-sex marriages. We approve the nonsense that today I may be a man, tomorrow I feel like a woman or something else. This is demonic in its reality because it comes out of a spirit of confusion. I had a conversation with a person who says she's a lesbian. She's 13 years old. And I said, what makes you a lesbian? She says, well, I just feel like that. I said, okay. So you're a lesbian. You're entering into a level of maturity in which your hormones are all over the place. Your body is changing. But you think you're a lesbian. Do you like boys? Yeah, I like boys. Okay. Well, why do you think you're a lesbian? If you like boys, well, that's how I feel. And we carried the conversation on and on. And everything that was a clue was it's based on feelings. It's not truth. Truth has no feelings. Truth is truth. Period. You can accept the truth or not. And what is happening in this generation today is they are substituting truth with feelings. And they are confused. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with that because I understand where we are in history. Some more stuff. We have a healthcare situation in this country that heals no one. I can attest to that. I went through a stroke, and all they wanted to do was medicate me. I said, what happened to healing me? Can I get healed? Oh, well, you know, that's going to take a long time. What's the time frame you're talking about? Oh, well, we're talking years. You may not be the same. And there's certain limitations I'm realizing that is not going on in my life. And I've accepted those things. But there's one thing I won't accept. My God heals. He uses medicine to heal. Didn't he say Luke was a healer, a doctor? So he uses the medical profession to heal. We have an insurance problem where illegals are getting insurance, but people who are working every day can't get insurance. Something wrong with the system. I know of a case, a guy is working three jobs, has no insurance, has to pay cash at everything that's going on. But this illegal is able to tie up the emergency wards for his little problems. And I'm not against helping. I'm against supporting. It should be the people of this country, your citizens, should reap the benefits from its government. And that's a problem because this government is not set up for believers. Set up for make-believers. It's set up for whoever. It is joined hand in hand, part and parcel with those who are confused. Which goes back to a question that I have, and we tackled this problem earlier this year, about our allegiance to Jesus Christ. And we have a little thing, a pledge allegiance to Jesus, and then what encompasses for us as believers. Is your allegiance to Jesus Christ, or is your allegiance to the world system? There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. Oh, well, you know, you just don't understand, Pastor. I need a new job. Okay. But it's God who's going to provide it, not a world system that hates God. You see, God's my provider. Jehovah Jireh. This is yours. And I like telling this story. When God gave us this building, and I was in the midst of the stroke, I said, God, we have to rehabilitate this property. I need some workers. So God said to me, okay. And he laid off every man from their job at that time. Of which I'm forbid to start praying for people with their, about their job situation. But the neat thing is that God answered my prayer. It wasn't the prayer that I thought he was going to answer in the way that I thought he was going to answer. But as the rehabilitation of this property was closing in, each person went back to work with a better job. That's the God I serve. I don't know who you're serving, but that's the God I serve. Education. Our education, our primary education system sucks in such a way. Ooh, I said. I'm just getting real. No, I won't say that. I just want to be real. To the point that we either have to educate our kids at home or we educate in a private school system because public school system has failed our kids. And I call that the dumbing down. And I saw this as a reality when my own daughter, she's not the fastest kid to learn everything. She's very methodical. She takes her time and stuff, and so she's falling behind. So we came to a realization that Irene says, I gotta help her. And we were involved in a few ministries in another church. And I just went in and I asked God, I said, you know, we see what's happening. What do you want us to do? Came out of the closet, my prayer closet. And I said to Irene, I said, you are released from every ministry but one. She says, what's the one? We were involved in small groups and my small group was all women. I need a cover. And a lot of people don't understand what that means. But I need a covering. The only stipulation she put to me was, it can't be marathon nights any longer. We would have a small group. We were supposed to stop at 9:30, but we'd go 10, 11 o'clock at night for prayer and stuff. And I agreed. We needed to become disciplined in that. And of course, my daughter accepted the help. She excelled and college educated and the whole nine yards. Say no more. It's because I sought God and what he wanted to do. Students who are going to college. It's diabolical, is all I can say. When my son went to Drexel, and he received a presidential scholarship from the president of the school, I asked a question to the dean of finances. I said, you know, the cost of education to come to the school at that time was $25,000 a year. Oh, yeah. But it was expensive. And I said to him, I said, you're taking one-third of our earning capacity to educate my child, which I felt was obscene. Wait till I get to today. He looked at me square in the face, and he said, do you want your kid to come to this school? I said, yeah, of course. You'll pay it. And he walked away. And we paid it. Okay. He's got a really good education. He graduated with two majors in economics and in business. He's really a smart kid. Today he has his own business. He's doing quite well for himself. Quite proud of him. And we asked God to devise a plan in which we could do this. And God devised a plan in which everything in our household, one-third of the income was Irene's salary, which went to pay for the college. I worked for South Jersey Gas, and at the time, we were getting lavished with all these expenditures at the time, and God provided for each and every expenditure because he said he would. And that happened with overtime. I got overtime when there was no overtime. And because I got overtime, I kept honoring God and growing in the things of God. You see, this is an eternal thing. It can't be short-sighted. It can't be short-planned. This is God. He's in control of time and space. He knows what we need. And I cultivated a lifestyle in which I spend time with God each and every day discussing needs and what I see in people and what he wants me to do and that kind of stuff. And a lot of times, it doesn't coincide with what people think I should be doing. Well, personally, he's the boss. You're not. You're like me. He gets to tell me what to do. And my response is, yes, Lord. And I tell people all the time what's going on. Today, education is out of reach for people. We have students who want to go to schools that are $60,000, $70,000 a year. Not all the years. And we're taught that we should be educated in order to get these better jobs. The only problem is there's no better jobs. Even though the job situation is getting better. So how much education do you need to meet a criteria that is not of God? Think about it. I do. If I had to do it over again, and if I was more experienced, I would have sent both my kids to a junior college. Their education process is really good. I've investigated. I know people who have gone that route and have done that to cause the cost of education to drive it down. I believe that if you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or a businessman, you should get as much education as you can get. Everything else falls to it. We have a lot of people who come out with a general degree that know nothing. They spend the first 3 years in remedial classes learning the things that they should have learned in school, primary school. Could this be the answer of a lot of the troubles that we're facing as a nation? And I think it is. Morality is unheard of. People don't have any sense of morality any longer. They don't know what God says or what the world says. They just do what they want to do. Ethics is unheard of. Businesses do no longer value us as employees. It used to be in my generation you were an employee. today you are a worker. Worker is a socialistic word that takes away your uniqueness and defines you just like everybody else. And the attitude of business is, you don't like it, leave. There's 10 more out the door that's waiting for your job. And that's true. That's true. It's almost unheard of for people to be educated in the trades. And today, they have to rebuild all that. You weren't going to get rich, but you could provide for your kids. And if you wanted to be a businessman, or your kid wanted to be a businessman, or a doctor, or whatever, education was at a cost where my philosophy, I'll help pay for the first four. If you want more, it's on you. Today, everything is dealt on the parents. Take care of a kid till they're 25. Cut me a break. I was out on my own. I had my first child at 20. I built a house and was in my house at 22. And most people are like, oh my goodness, I can't function. I'm afraid of the world. Snowflake. God has not given me a spirit of fear. Give me a spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. Isn't that what I reiterated several times last week? What spirit has he given you? If you call on the name of Christ, he's giving you the same spirit. And that same spirit who raised Christ from the dead now dwells where? In me. In you. Morality is confused. Ethics is confused because we all want to take advantage of everyone for our own benefit. We're afraid to sacrifice. We're afraid to do the right thing. We're afraid that somebody may be offended. I'm going to offend you because that's what the Word says I'm going to do. Because it's not me to offend you, it's the Word that offends you. Luke 19. Global warming is a reality that is happening. And we have to expand our minds. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. How do you interpret that scripture? What was Jesus coming back to save? What was he coming back to that he was seeking? Was he seeking man? Or was it something greater? Was he seeking to save his kingdom on earth? Because it was already here. Adam gave it up. Now Jesus was going to take it back. And the neat thing about it is he took it back and then he gives it to us. Our God is so good. He is so good. And I believe he is so good that it brings in the question for us, our loyalty towards him. Really. It comes to a point, he's taught me that what we try to do is we try to fit the kingdom into our schedule. When the correct way of thinking is we have the kingdom and we have to fit our schedule into that. Can you see the difference? Everything is kingdom. Everything. And I say to people who are really getting jammed up, welcome to the ministry. Welcome to the ministry. Like I said in James, submit to God. Our submission is to change the lifestyle that we're living in such a way that the kingdom is first. Because my Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. How many of us seek Him first? He's the answer to all our problems. We don't want to wait. We definitely don't want to ask. And we don't want the results that He wants to give to us. I know, because I was there. Still am sometimes. If you've seen my other Bible, you can see how angry I got with God. He's big God. He lets me have my temper tantrum. I don't take them anymore because Bibles cost too much. But what is He speaking to you? How are you conforming? Because the image of Christ is more than just you. It's your lifestyle. It's how you conduct yourself in all phases of your life. Do you have meltdowns when someone questions what's going on? Do you think you're a simple person to get along with, but in reality you're not? You're simple because you believe that, but the truth of it is you may not be. And I've come to the realization I'm not the easiest person to get along with because I'm stuck on the kingdom. I'm stuck. I don't yield. I used to have Irene tell me, well, just go in your prayer closet, see what God would say. And I'd come back in 10 minutes or 20 minutes. And, well, what'd He say? Gotta do what He says. Gotta do what He says. Are we understanding that Jesus is coming back not just for men, but to establish His kingdom? That's the whole play in Revelation 11, the coronation of the king. Where's our loyalty? What does our allegiance to Jesus look like? Or are we so committed to this world system that keeps us in bondage and in fear and tells us what to do? Or are we going to finally cast that off and say, God, have your way. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And I'm telling you from personal experience, He is faithful beyond measure. And He will take care of us. He has. He's given us this building. He's given us you. You may not be a prize right now, but I see you as gems in the rough. And when you come to understanding that you want to be more than just a congregant, more than just a pew sitter, that's when we really roll up our sleeves and start doing some work. Let's face it. You don't want to be accountable for what you do. Right? This is yes. This is no. But submitting to Jesus means for the first time we're accountable and He loves us. We don't want accountability because what's it get us? It doesn't get us anything. More heartache. More pressure in life. More of the same old, same old. But I can tell you, as I submit to God and look to what He wants, He starts removing things out of my life, removing things out of my, that's standing in my way, because He ultimately wants me to be successful, and He wants the same for you. You just haven't come into that. Let's look at the 11:15, Revelation 11:15 a little bit. It says, the kingdom, the word is basileia, of this world, cosmos, are become, genomai, the kingdoms of our Lord, kurios, which we get the word kuro, ambassador, and his Christ, and he shall reign, basilio, forever and ever. The question is, will the kingdom come slowly, or will it come after a major event? And as I said earlier, we have been taught improperly. Any of us that have been in church for any period of time have heard at least, we're waiting for the rapture. We're waiting. And then God's going to change everything. The question is, what are we doing in the meantime? Are we just taking up space? Well, then we can remove the chairs and make you uncomfortable. We can do without the building. We can just assemble, because pretty soon we're going to be raptured out of here. And we've had a lot of nitwits out there that, you know, we'll drink the Kool-Aid and we'll go to this comet and everything will be good. Well, what they demonstrated is an absurdity of reality. Are you being ruled by this world, or are you under the kingdom? Just to give you a thought, because I want you to understand the truth of what this word, this scripture is talking about. And the word that is key is genomai. Until the time comes. Genomai. That word genomai means are become. It means a progressive generation that it starts. And we get the word generator from that. And what is to happen is it started when the 12 went out and shared the gospel. And it started to multiply. They were generating interest in the kingdom. What are we doing? We're told not to generate. We're told to sit in the pews. We're told to wait. The word is telling us that you have the power to generate interest in the kingdom. And that power comes from not only sharing the good news, but living it. You're not his just to live the way you want to live. You're his to represent him. And he is trying to disciple you to become a representative of Jesus and his kingdom. Genome means to cause to be. We are to cause the kingdom. We have within our power, we can usher in the kingdom of God in its reality by generating that through our personal lives. And as more and more we conform to what the kingdom is, the kingdom says, the kingdom culture, guess what? People will begin to start noticing. There's something different about you. Have you ever had anybody say, there's something different about you? You're living the kingdom. I've said for many years, you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts, because they're living as the world, not as the kingdom. That's all going to change. There's no passivity in the kingdom. We are to generate it. We are to cause it to become manifested in its reality. And we're to express it to the concern that ethics is real important. Our morality is real important. How we educate, how we interact with each other is important. How concerned are we for each other? I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. I have still much to learn. Still much to learn. I've been walking with Christ for 30-some years and still have much to learn. But I can allow you to see my life. And what you see here is what you get at my house. I don't change now. I don't put on airs. I trust in the grace of God as I submit this to Him or that to Him. It's the grace of God that not only changes me, it enables me to share good news with people who are distressed in life. Acts 3:21 says, He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as He promised long ago through His holy prophets. This is early in Acts. But He has to remain there. Why? So the saints can get their acts together and begin to tell people about Jesus and what He's done and what He wants to do. People are ensnared in all kinds of trickery. They're in bondage to many sins because they don't have ethics or morality governing their lives. And so they're filled with a lot of pain and they're trying to anesthetize the pain. I only know Jesus Christ to heal. And that pain runs deeper than just my everyday aches and pains. It deals with my heart. How's your heart? Our concerns are real, but God says give it to Him. He tells us to renew our minds in Romans 12:2. I just don't feel like doing it. Tough. None of us feel like doing it. But God says it's important to us for our development, for our education, for us understanding. The question I posed about, you know, Jesus saving the kingdom. And the kingdom is us. What has He saved you from? Well, I've always been a Christian, Pastor. No, you haven't. That's just a fable. No, it isn't. I just come to church to feel good and then live my life the way I want. You're not His disciple. In the truest sense, a disciple is a disciplined person. And what we do is we forgo our disciplines. We forgo disciplining our mind. We forgo disciplining our emotions. We forgo disciplining our finances. We forgo disciplining our family. I could go on and on and on, but the discipline of the kingdom starts with me. Most of the problems in the house is because men don't want to direct their homes. Sorry. But God made us first. He didn't make women. We were deceived by women. We bought into the lie. And our eyes were open. We are at a place in history that we're at the last chance. We're at the last chance to cause this nation to come back to God. We're not. And as things happen, and you know, Trump keeps saying, oh, we're going to win, we're going to win. Yeah, that's temporary. Temporary. I only win in Jesus Christ. The question is, am I in Christ or out of Christ? I've given you the message. I've told you what our jobs are. I have a handout. Anybody who wants the handout can take the handout of how to change our culture for the kingdom. They're just suggestions, but they're simple. Little adjustments. I want to see this town come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not through religion, not through pretension, but the reality of God changing us from the inside out. But it all starts with us. If you want the same thing, stand up. If you don't, your legs are tired, whatever, stand up anyway. Because my Bible says we're men and women without excuse. Father, giving your word, stir the hearts of your people. Have that zeal of being a new creation in you overwhelm them to the point of seeing the realities as they commit each and every area of their lives to you. I would rather be ruled by you than the governments of this world, because they only enslave people. They don't set them free. I would have you rule me, because you rule over the hearts of men, not just the situations and circumstances. God, may this word find fertile soil in their hearts. May they have many sleepless nights till they conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I give you free rein to work even right now to adjust us. I want to hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." Because one day, this world system is going to be yielded unto you. And I want your people to be richly rewarded for their efforts. As they go forth today, I ask that you protect them, you provide for them, that you show them that you are the faithful one who is more than able to do above and beyond whatever we could ask or imagine. Because our sole goal is to bring glory to you before you punish your enemies. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.